Well, markets have been a little bit interesting, or rather not. I have David Shapiro. He's the deputy chairman of SASFIN joining me in studio. David, the All Share Index up 0.06%. It's not very exciting. What's been going on in the markets today?
It's doing okay. I think if we actually look at the news that we've had to suffer over the last 2 weeks, I think the fact that markets are holding where they are, it's testimony to the fact, I think, that the underlying global economy is maybe stronger than we think. And also companies are coming out with fairly good results. So against that, you know, I'm happy with where we are as long as we keep creeping up, even if it is at point whatever percent, you know, as long as it's not down. But a couple of features today. I think the one thing that we have seen with the worries over China, we saw China's numbers recently, and also with the worries over perhaps trade wars, commodity prices have been coming down. Mm. So we've seen copper down. Look at platinum's at 810, which is a worrying level. Gold's coming down. The one commodity that's holding up is iron ore, and iron ore remains above that $60 level. And for the premium iron ore, that's at almost record prices. So, you know, that helps Kumba, and that's why we've seen strength in Kumba recently. The other good thing out today was BHP Billiton's quarterly update. It was a fourth quarter, all above analyst expectations, with petrol and copper the outperformers. And what that does do is it spells a very good half. Very good year for for Billiton. So Billiton was up very nicely. The only negative side on the resource markets were the platinum shares, and I think Anglo Plat, Sibanye coming down on that platinum price.
Yeah, it's around what, $810.
$810 is dollars. That's crazy levels. You know, that's really worrying levels. I think one can't find a break even, but in our heads we've got something like 1,200. You know, so we're far below those levels. Oil also coming down. Oil coming down on inventories in the United States, which seem to have ticked up. So a bit of pressure on oil stocks globally. Not us. You know, Cecil seems to be holding. But if you look at U.S. markets now, they're just being taken down by some of the oil companies and oil service businesses.
David, I just want to stick with the platinum story. Like you say, you're talking about a break-even level of $1,200 an ounce, and the price is around $810 an ounce, which is really bad if it's sustained. Anglo Plat, they came out with a statement yesterday saying that they've decided to invest with the PIC in some venture capital companies based in the United Kingdom, and what they would basically seek to do is invest in areas that would stimulate demand for PGMs. Now, that sounds like a very good idea.
It is a good idea, and the problem is that it could take generations before the results become commercial, but they have to do it. Up until a few years ago, the big demand was for mainly for autocatalysts. In other words, to clean ignition, clean the air, and the other was jewelry, and jewelry was a massive taker of platinum, particularly in the East. For some reason, the Japanese love platinum because of the color of their skin. And look, and I actually haven't looked at the numbers, but they're certainly not making a big difference to platinum demand. Mm. And no one's quite sure why, against the kind of figures that analysts produce, the platinum price is not holding up. So there's something disturbing it. And there are other areas of supply that are coming onto the market that are keeping it down. But for in the meantime, Anglo Plat, which is probably, you know, by far the best platinum producer, is holding up. But it doesn't mean every one of their shafts is doing well. Mm. So it's the good ones that are keeping up the bad ones. In terms of the other suppliers, you know, Impala and Lonmin and down the line, they're having a much more tougher time. You know, they're not in the good position that Anglo Plat is in. And even Anglo Plat is not running away.
Well, they're supposedly now leaner and meaner. But if you're leaner and meaner, but the price is not good enough.
The price is not helping.
Yeah, yeah. And then you touched on oil. I see that's been under a little bit of pressure. I think it all started with announcements coming out of the United States that the U.S. was going to tap on its strategic oil reserves.
That was Trump. I think we haven't seen any evidence of that.
Okay.
I think what is up, if you looked at industrial production, production numbers is the number of rigs that are being sunk. I don't know what the right, what's a verb? I don't know what you do. You know, install, I don't know, yeah, whatever. Yeah. The rig count is up. And that means, you know, that the frackers are pushing out a lot more production. Also what's happened is the Saudis are pushing out a bit more oil as well. So OPEC's starting to crack a bit there. They did agree to increase production. You know, Trump and Saudis, close relationship. Trump wants oil price down because a higher oil price will thwart where he wants his economy to go. Mm. So there's so many dynamics there when you try and control a market. So,
we often don't understand him, but on this one, we can agree with him. We really need a lower oil price, right? Yeah,
for us, we do.
Oh, absolutely. Generally speaking, how did the retailers do? I see that they sold off a little bit. ShopRite did come out with an operational update.
You know, I went through it. You've got to understand ShopRite first and have a good understanding, you know, good feel of where they are. But locally, I think the one thing that struck me was the inflation number, you know, from I'm talking about in the RSA operation, the South African operations. I think inflation was around about 5.7% last year, down to almost nothing this year. I think 0.3 or 0.5. I can't remember the number offhand.
So the CPI number came out for June at 4.6%. In the previous month, it was at 4.4% year on year.
Well, but still inflation, I think the estimates were 4.8. So it was below estimates. Why? Because food inflation seems to be down, which is something that you found in the ShopRite results as well. You know, food inflation seems to be lower than expectations. But at 4.6, it's still a very manageable, very manageable number. But the result outside of South Africa, in other words, in non-South African operations, very, very disappointing. It might have something to do with Angola. I don't understand the full Angolan issue, but they did highlight problems there that they had with excessive growth, which could have been inflation-driven and pulling back on it now. So you're going to have to get a ShopRite expert to explain it more articulately.
So in terms of, you know, now you've highlighted the CPI number. Your expectations for the monetary policy decision tomorrow?
They're not going to do anything. You know, there's no pressure on them to raise rates yet. But they will be watching it. I think if anything, the next hike will be up because of maybe the trend that you're going to see in the United States, etc. I think it's going to stay neutral for a long time. In other words, no change either up or down for some time. Doesn't seem to be pressure in either direction.
It might put the skids on our economic growth a little that we're getting.
You mean if they keep rates low?
No, if they were to raise them, yeah.
Oh, if they're raising them, yeah.
And Vukile Property Fund put out a statement that they're raising funds to the tune of about 1.3 billion rand in order to secure some property assets in Spain.
Well, that's hot at the moment. Every property company now looking for properties outside, and Europe seems to be their chosen area. Generally, it's Eastern Europe, as we've seen with Redefine, with Eco Polska, and all those other companies. And coming back, you know, very happy about the growth there and the quality of businesses they have. It's Vukile have chosen Spain. And what's odd is, 207, 208, fresh in my mind. And, you know, Spain was one of the big victims there, where huge amounts of money were pushed into property, which remained unlet. But it seems the big turnaround there. So, Vukile, Lawrence Rapp, highly respected. I just wish them well. And what it also highlights is that they're running out of places to, you know, running out of options in South Africa, that they're looking to diversify their portfolio. But the market likes it. I know the market was down today, but I think broadly the market likes the fact that they're expanding beyond South Africa's borders.
Okay. And then I see that Bitcoin is doing well.
Now, this is an area I know a lot about.
Do you think that it's younger investors who are a bit more, you know,
more bold.
They're bold.
They like things that their parents don't like.
Yeah. You know?
if the father says don't go into it, yes, they're going to go into it. And there's a feeling that this is progressive, that it's a new generation type product, and that I think they have to get hurt before they learn to follow their parents' advice.
You can tell them I told you so a little bit later.
But there's no doubt that in years to come, There is going to be a cryptocurrency, and there are going to be other forms of payment. We don't know what the shape it's going to take, but I think you can't ignore it. You know, we can't ignore these developments, even though you don't want to get involved yet.
Now, David, you are essentially a capitalist. Did you hear former US President Barack Obama's speech? And him talking about the structure of the global economy and, you know, the dichotomy between rich and poor and all of that. And that ultimately, it's not just a South African issue. Ultimately, if it's not addressed, you're going to get all sorts of problems in terms of social cohesion. Yeah. What were your thoughts around that?
You know, it's not a new problem. He's not raised something. I think the biggest challenge that that global economies have, or that countries have, is the skill to raise the skill, or of the, you know, because it's becoming the demand for skills is becoming much, much greater, and therefore we have to re-educate a whole labor the whole labor force to adapt and to be ready for the kind of economy that we're going to be seeing, which is not going to be digging holes in the road or those kind of menial tasks without knocking the people. So it's not only, it's here as well. It's not, you don't have to bring down those who are making. You've got to rise, you've got to push up those who are not making. And I think that's the challenge. And it's education, you know, and we've got to start by improving those kind of skills, which are more around science and maths and, you know, those skills more so than what we've been used to in the past. But it's something that we watch very, very carefully. But believe me, it's around the world. It's every economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what you've got to do to your kids.
Yeah,
you know,
from early on.
You've got to become what are those called, like a tiger mom. You
know? I'll try.
And beat your kid up if they don't do their maths homework. You know?
They know the police number. Thanks very much, David, for your time. As always, that's David Shapiro. He's the Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Wealth.